Around 4 a.m. Saturday, April 4th, the Marshalltown Police Department were dispatched to an alarm call in the 10 block of West Main Street in downtown Marshalltown. Once on scene, the officers found Helberg's Jewelers had been broken into. Detectives and crime scene personnel came to the scene to investigate and process evidence. The main cases of jewelry where the most expensive items were located were the ones broken into in the center of the store, some of the other cases not even touched. This detail could mean that the store was scouted ahead of time. Flock cameras have identified a car from Kansas at the scene during the time of the robbery and again in late March. Any information about this incident should be sent to the Marshalltown Police Department. Sunday, the Marshalltown Fire Department was called out to the old hospital in downtown Marshalltown for a suspected gas leak. There are no utilities currently connected to the old hospital, but when authorities arrived on scene, people near the old ambulance garage waved the first responders into the building.
So we went in with air monitoring and on air and all the things, taking all the precautions that we're supposed to take. They found two people in I can't even really describe it. It would be like a three-person submarine type shaped, 20 feet long with maybe about 3 feet tall, cylindrical type thing with an open top.
That's Fire Chief Christopher Cross. He says the fire captain on scene realized this was a confined space rescue. Everything outside of the space was okay, so the next steps was to get the people out of the small space.
And so he declared the rescue, brought in some equipment that is specially designed to do confined space rescues. One of the first things we do with air monitoring is we ventilate whatever space somebody is trapped in.
As they pumped in fresh air to the confined space, the two individuals began to regain consciousness.
One person was able to get out kind of semi under their own power. We helped them out. And then the other victim that was deeper into the tank, from what I understand, we packaged that victim up in some special equipment and then drug them a little bit horizontally and then out the top of the hole.
Both victims were then taken by Unity Point EMS to the local hospital, and their conditions are unknown. Speaking of the old hospital, it was a topic of discussion last night at the Marshalltown City Council meeting. The City Council voted 7-0 to approve the $75,000 offer to ServiceMaster of Des Moines, which has a lien against the old hospital property for work that they did that was never compensated. City Administrator Carol Webb said during the meeting last night that this is the next step to move the city closer to obtaining the old hospital property. The payment to ServiceMaster is contingent on the city obtaining the title through a 657A action. That code allows cities to abate, abandon, or unsafe buildings through rehabilitation or demolition. This week is National Telecommunicators Week, and Marshall County Sheriff Joel Phillips raves about the 911 communication teams with Marshall County. He says they're really the first responders.
Some people don't realize that when you call 911, the telecommunicator dispatcher is the very first point of contact. That's the first voice they hear in those critical moments.
Their job is to gather life-saving information to then provide EMD, emergency medical dispatch.
They provide like instructions for CPR, some trauma incidents, and various medical conditions to the caller to help that caller through that situation. And then at the same time, they're coordinating either law enforcement, fire, or EMS responses all before they arrive on scene. They're trying to gather that information to get that to those responders.
Dispatchers are coordinating with multiple agencies at once while also trying to assist someone who's having could possibly the worst day of their life.
In Marshall County, our communication center is responsible for dispatching 3 law enforcement agencies, 12 fire departments, and 9 EMS agencies. And that doesn't include the point-to-point communications across Iowa and the arrest warrant or protection order verifications that is their responsibility when other agencies come across the individuals with these arrest warrants or protection orders.
Sheriff Phillips spoke very highly of the Marshall County 911 communication team and wants everyone to celebrate them this week during National Telecommunicators Week. Wet conditions have slowed the start of planting a little bit compared to last year. The USDA crop report shows 1% of corn was planted by Sunday. That's 1% behind last year at the same time. The report shows that no soybeans have been planted, which is behind 2025, where 1% had already been planted. There were only about 3 days suitable for field work during the previous week, compared to six for the same period last year. State data shows much of southern Iowa had above average rainfall during the last week, while drier conditions continued in the northwest corner. The Catholic Archdiocese of Dubuque announced the results this weekend of its plan to reorganize. Here's Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson.
Archbishop Thomas Zinkula says in a statement, the Archdiocese will reorganize its 160 parishes that serve 180,000 Catholics into 24 pastorates beginning July 14th. The Archbishop sent individual letters to the 160 parishes explaining what will happen to them with nearly half no longer holding weekend masses. The decision comes after what the Archbishop calls a year-long journey in faith discernment process. Archbishop Zinkula says a sobering reality is the number of faithful attending Mass has declined by 46% in 20 years, and the number of priests available for the ministry has been declining. Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson.
Traffic deaths in Iowa continue to be trending above the record low recorded last year. The DOT's Stuart Anderson gave the State Transportation Commission an update at their workshop on Monday.
We are at 73 fatalities year to date, and that is 15 over last year, year to date, and 7 more than the 5-year average.
January traffic deaths were up 7 compared to last year, and March deaths were 30 compared to just 17 in 2025.
January was a challenging month. March also certainly was a challenging month with those numbers, and we're seeing those being driven by fatalities with younger drivers and older drivers.
Anderson says while it is too early to say traffic deaths will end up above last year,
these trends are more meaningful longer term, so we don't want to react too much just based on kind of the data we have so far this year. But we certainly hope that these numbers start getting on the trend we saw last year more.
The state saw a record low 258 traffic deaths in 2025. Teams from the National Weather Service are heading out to survey the damage from last night's possible tornadoes in northwest Iowa, according to meteorologist Mike Fowle.
We have a couple reports of tornado touchdowns with a little bit of damage. It looks like right now on near the Grettinger area, and then perhaps another touchdown in Emmett County, so Palo Alto and Emmett counties. Maybe some outbuilding damage, some tree damage, that sort of thing. Nothing major.
Media outlets are also showing photos of a tornado in Clay County. There are no reports of any injuries, though there are multiple reports of large hail shattering windows and denting rooftops. Carroll County reported wind gusts of 60 miles an hour. Fowle warns more severe weather is possible later today, but the threat is further to the south, targeting central and eastern Iowa.
The highest risk, which is our level 3 out of 5 today, is going to be from the Des Moines area over to about Waterloo and then in eastern sections of Iowa. We are expecting all modes of severe weather possible this afternoon. So the main threats are going to be large hail and damaging winds. But again, like we saw yesterday, a couple tornadoes are definitely possible.
He predicts the time frame will be late this afternoon and into this evening. Fowle says the weather pattern appears to be staying in place. There could be a chance for severe weather daily through Friday. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Iowa Attorney General adding more alleged violations to the state's consumer protection law lawsuit against a social media company. It's 1210.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Bruce Weirin. Let's work together to make sure your finances meet your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call us at 641-753-4163 to schedule an appointment. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
It's 1210. It is muggy. Muggy and 75. Let's go back to our newsroom. Here's Zach Tomish.
Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd has added more alleged violations to the state's consumer protection laws to her lawsuit against TikTok. Byrd says the social media platform continues to provide easy access to explicit content to children and teens.
We initially sued them because they were saying that TikTok was safe for kids 12 and up, but we found sexually explicit material that those kids would have access to, as well as binge drinking, drug use, other types of videos that would encourage kids to commit suicide. So we sued them under Iowa's consumer protection law.
She says they added to the lawsuit to include features she says preys upon the unique psychological vulnerabilities of children and teens.
To add the addictive algorithm that TikTok has that gets kids hooked on TikTok, as well as concerns we have about China's access to the information of Americans through the TikTok platform.
The Trump administration completed a deal in March to restructure TikTok's U.S. operations, shifting control to a U.S.-based investor group led by Oracle. The regional administrator of the Small Business Administration says a new agency initiative is focused on boosting food production in the United States, particularly meat processing. Brad Zahn, a former member of the Iowa Senate, is the SBA's administrator for Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska.
We don't believe there's enough competition in the meatpacking industry, and that includes poultry. And that is one of the reasons why we've got this special program.
To encourage banks to make loans to food processors and related businesses, the SBA will be guaranteeing a larger portion of one of these loans if the business defaults.
Typically, we have like anywhere from a 60 to 75% guarantee. This raises it to 90%. And what it does is that the liability for the lenders is so much less, they're probably more likely to loan that money out.
A major regional beef processing plant in Lexington, Nebraska, closed early this year, shutting down nearly 5% of the daily cattle processing in the United States. Zahn has been meeting with businesses in the region to tout the new SBA loan guarantee in hopes of expanding processing capacity.
Smaller mom-and-pop type places or a little bit larger facilities, and we're going out, we're trying to deploy more cash at a 90% guarantee.
The program is not just for food processors, but for businesses all along the food chain. Zahn says that means grocery stores could be eligible for the program.
Because there's so many rural areas that don't have, you know, good grocery stores or any kind of service like that.
Businesses may begin applying for these loans May 1st. Last year, the Small Business Administration backed the loans to 85,000 U.S. businesses.